Guys have been doing a great job leading us on Sunday mornings, and I remember taking a class and cramming for it and not really remembering anything I studied. I think this past month or so has been an important movement for our church. It's embrace what we say we believe, but even if the worst thing happens to me, I'm still going to trust God. And I thought it would be good to hear the three of them talk about some of these movements and allow us time at the tables to also talk about some of this movement and to share a little bit. So I think, Chris, somewhere along the way, you had this vision for this series, and then you fleshed it out with these two guys. Can you tell us the genesis of the Even If series?
The genesis was when Courtney Flo spoke on a Wednesday night back in March and did a similar presentation to the interview from the second time, from the second week in August. So pretty much that night, it was clear in my mind we could spend more time kind of fleshing out these themes. So I think I went into Trey's office the next day and said, hey, we need to do this in August. So it started back then.
So as you two have presided over the preaching, the interviews, the video testimonies, you've led the worship time, I want to ask you, and then I want to ask us to discuss this at the tables, was there a moment, and you all three may have the same moment, I may share that moment with you, but was there a moment that was unusually impactful? So Trey, I'm going to start with you. And I would combine the Wednesday nights in here with the Sunday mornings. We were tag teaming a little bit here. Sunday mornings were more intentional, but Wednesday nights were trying to affirm what you three were trying to do. So Trey, was there a moment or something that happened that was just really impactful?
I think for me, there's a couple. I'll just stick with one. That first week when Joe Ivey was interviewed by you, Chris, having him kind of pull back the curtain on some of his life. This individual who I know is well respected and loved, for him to have a moment of transparency for all of us to say, hey, this is something that I've dealt with for a long, long time. As someone who deals with that same thing and in a little bit different way, it was liberating, freeing to know that there was an opportunity for our church to have an honest, open conversation about mental health. That's something that's, to normalize this, to make this real, hey, there's so many of us in this room, 20% of us in this room deal with this. And all of us have been touched by it. I remember my mom, she works for I told my mom about the sermon, and she went back and she works for a nonprofit that connects children who have lost a loved one or families who have lost loved ones. And they actually told other churches to do exactly what we did. They said, please, if you can do what Harpeth Hills in Nashville, Tennessee has done, because there are so many people who don't know that it's okay to talk about this at church. Incredible.
Jason, what about you? Was there a moment?
Yeah, I think for me, it happened before the series even launched. We had been talking about this series, and we'd been talking about voices that we felt like needed to be heard, and those were obvious voices, Joe and Courtney and Amber, and then there was this fourth week, and I don't know that we were on the prowl for another voice. We kind of said, no, these are the obvious voices, and then one Sunday, we hadn't even started promoting Even If. Kyle Kramer comes up to me tearfully, shaking, and said, I think I'm supposed to tell our story. And it hit me out of nowhere because I would have never asked Kyle to tell his story. I didn't think that's where he was. I didn't think that's where he and Krista were. And I said, tell me a little bit more about where this is coming from. And by the time it was over, I said, so let me get this straight. You want to share your story about what's happened with you guys and the doubt that it has produced coming into a series that you don't even know about called Even If, and there's a week that we don't have a testimony about doubt. And I came in with such expectation, knowing God is doing something here. There's a divine orchestration to this series. And I've learned that when I come with expectation, God always shows up.
I didn't know we get to count Wednesday night, so I changed my answer, so I'm glad. So, you know, I mean, I've cried in this room the last two Wednesday nights with Larry and Brian, and their testimony dealing with health issues. Larry's is ongoing, and Brian's perhaps in the rearview mirror. I mean, Brian distinguishing between Pastor Brian and then Brian, and how those are two different things, and I could certainly identify with that, of what you portray, what you feel like you got to portray as the preacher, and then what you feel on the inside. So that especially connected with me. So,
yeah, I would have said the Wednesday night too, but I had a second one that you didn't mention. You know, and I love the Glenn family. I loved Loa. Loa was always at the front door of the church. She was one of our receptionists, volunteer receptionists. We have some 30 ladies who volunteer here, and basically what they're doing is, by volunteering here, they're saving the church a salary that we can spend on missions. And Loa was like Miss Harpeth Hills, and she was a life group leader, ladies group leader, receptionist here. And so I loved Loa Glenn. And Greg may be Mr. Lipscomb Academy, but Loa was Miss Harpeth Hills. And Amber, here's what I thought, is I thought, I hope my three kids will be as strong as Amber. If that ever happened to them, I want them to be as strong as Amber. So for me, that was just because I love that family, it was just a pivotal moment. I want to ask you to do the same thing. Would you kind of circle in around your tables? If there's only two or three of you, maybe you move to another table. But would you discuss over the last month what we've just discussed up here? Was there a pivotal moment for you as we went through this journey together? If you'll do that right now at your tables, thank you. Hey, thank you for sharing. I'm not going to let these guys off the hook here. So, you know, they bring in all these folks to talk about their even if stories and their moments with God. So I'm going to ask you three, and I'll share two, and then we'll share the tables. Is there a moment in your life where it was an even if movement, where you know, we started with you last, we'll start with Jason this time. It was a moment in your life where you know God was walking with you, even though you were either doubting, suffering, struggling, dealing with loss. So, Jason, would you share first?
Yeah, and I could point to several, but one that is sort of frozen in time for me was sitting on the steps at Stan and Lee Ellen Ezell's house. I think Chris was the one that had called us. Kind of call that you just can't believe. And I remember sitting on the steps and hearing sounds of grief that I had never heard in my life. And I would say there was maybe, I don't think this is an overstatement, there was maybe no family at Harpeth Hills that had been better to my family than Stan and Lee Ellen. And I'm sitting on their stairs and I felt so lost. And I knew it's one of those moments where I'm supposed to be a minister. You know, I'm supposed to have some comfort or answer or presence or something. And I felt so lost and so disillusioned and so caught off guard. And I think Jennifer and I both could point back to that moment as a pivotal moment in ministry, in faith, in life. It really shook us to the core.
Chris?
One of mine would be when Brother Moffitt's son-in-law, John Smith, was killed in a biking accident. He was 32, had three kids, like 8, 5, 2, something like that. He was run over by a semi when he was driving or biking home from work. And September 22nd, 1989, and that pretty much rocked my world. So that was a tough one.
You know, mine is one of those where I look at it now and go, really? Intellectually, you were beating yourself up that much? You questioned so much of God's presence through all this? And it was just the year where I lost mom, dad, my grandmother, my aunt, and that really wasn't the trauma. The trauma was I had a special needs sister. My parents died when they were young. I always thought my parents would outlive my special needs sister. And it literally took me, so for any of you who wonder how long does it take sometimes to get halfway through something, it literally took me 3 years to not feel guilty about my sister being in a nursing home. I felt like I was disappointing my parents. I felt like I wasn't living up to whatever standard I quote unquote had. And the reality of it is, I know right now, I'm doing the best I can. I love my sister, but it just took me 3 years to just stop feeling guilty. So if you've ever been through something where you're dealing with long-term guilt, join the club. I'm there with you. And God has been so faithful. I think for some of you, you could have learned that lesson in a year or 3 months. It just took me about 3 years to learn it.
When I was a junior in college, a girl that I had grown up with since I was three, we were at ACU together. She had been a wanderer in college, couldn't really find her place, spent some time in the Disney college program. Finally came back to school, and the second week after being in school, she was killed in a car accident. And I remember Josh Ross talked about a few weeks ago the idea of groaning, that creation groans. And I remember being able to finally understand what that really meant and being able to put to words my own grief and watching people's grief. It took me years for me to even accept that that was a real thing, that I had dealt with this. Even today, I still struggle with knowing, but I have seen glimpses of God faintly over the last 6 years, but he's been present.
I want to ask you to do the same thing. Would you share at the tables where you had a moment that was an even if, you know, for some it may be just a few days, a few years. For some it may be it was a childhood, whatever it may be. Where were your even if moments where you now can see in the rearview mirror how faithful God was, but in the middle of that, you were dealing with a life situation that was causing you to either grieve, have doubt, struggle, faith struggle, whatever it may be. So would you do that right now at the tables, please? Okay, I'm about to go. Okay. You know, we purposely wanted tonight just to be like we were sitting around the living room. I'm gonna embarrass somebody tonight because I wanted you also be aware that on Wednesday nights, we have a ministry where folks are coming over here and fixing their plates. And one time I had a person say to me, why are all the church members taking the extra food home to eat? And my response was, no, they're taking that to shut-ins. In fact, some, I think, is it 37, 25? How many is it, Kim? 30 different of our shut members who are home-centered are getting a visit and a meal because of this ministry. And so two things. One, if you ever want to be a part of that, Kim, would you raise your hand in the back here? Kim can connect you and would love to have you do that, take a meal to someone tomorrow who would love to have a visit and a meal. And then two, Kim's been doing this for probably a couple of years, been involved in meals ministry. I think about what Chris and Jason are doing on Sunday mornings with this ordinary church. That's extraordinary church. So would you join me in thanking Kim for her leadership? I'm going to ask these great theologians up here and great worship leader up here, give us a word, either a word from Scripture that you cling to, something that is your rock, that's your centered point that we can leave here tonight with. So I'm going to start with Chris, go to Jason, and then to Trey.
When you asked us the question earlier today, and you said to practice a word or whatever, what I remembered from that time in the desert after John's death was mostly I just put my head down and I kept trying to do whatever it is I was supposed to do. And 9 months later, I just found myself at a different place. So that doesn't sound real spiritual, but that's how it worked out for me. I just kept moving forward. And of course, I was a minister, so it's like I couldn't quit going to church. And I know that blessed me, whereas if I had not been in that situation, I might have just, kind of shrunk back, and that would have been the wrong thing to do. So the practice of discipline, of having to continue to engage with church, I just kept going. I remember one day it was kind of like, oh, it feels different today, but I don't know what had happened. So maybe it's just the passing of time.
When Job is going through an even if moment of epic proportions, God responds and doesn't respond in a tender way. He responds in a confronting way. It reminds him the perspective of his majesty. And that kind of place in scripture for me has been Isaiah 40, the last few verses especially, with, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. He who calls out the starry hosts one by one and knows them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. So why do you say, O Israel, and complain, O Jacob, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And I've found that the confronting of Scripture and the majesty of God is enough to keep me going sometimes.
Right.
I remember in those days when there were really dark days, I remember reading through Lamentations and getting to 3, and in the middle of 3, I'm going to read from the Message because I think it's just really good. I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They've created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. I'm sticking with God. He's all I've got left.
We're going to close in just a minute, and I'm going to hopefully give you a spiritual blessing. I want to remind us why we do what we do here on Wednesday nights. It's coming together. So Jennifer has these three great classes, 3 weeks of classes planned, and then we'll come back together in October, and Al Sturgeon will be with us that night. And then Sunday school classes start on Sunday. And guys, thank you for, I don't think probably most of us understand all the work that goes into trying to lead us on Sunday mornings with the lessons, the materials, and this has been an incredible series. And I believe looking at some images of the church in Scripture over the next few weeks is going to be just as impactful. My go-to verse is from Romans 8, and it's the fact that above all else, I'm a child of God. I take my firm foundation that I am His. And as much as I am the son of Kenneth Roger Thompson and Sandra Thompson, I am also, before anything else, I am God's son. I want to ask you to have one person at each table, male or female. We're just going to leave in prayer. If you got to go get your children, I understand that. But we're going to just leave in prayer. So if one person at each table, male or female, would you pray a blessing over those around your table? Thank you for being here tonight. So if you will pray right now.